Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve.
Going What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer extraordinaire is Mr. Fancy Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday. Happy start of Summerfest to everybody. I do have a lot on my mind, and mostly, what the heck is going on in Louisiana? I just, every morning, Brian, I wake up to more ridiculous headlines, it seems. Every day now.
You ever driven through Louisiana?
I have been to New Orleans. I have not driven around.
I drove through Shreveport, and boy, did I not want to stop.
We mean no offense, Shreveportians.
No, that whole listening. Place, that whole area is an industrial complex. You want to talk about chemicals and petrochemical problems? That entire area is, I don't know, you are like more likely to have cancer if you live in that area just simply by being there.
There are basically cancer clusters, right? And they, where these have first been spotted has basically been in places like Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, because where do petrochemical companies put their businesses? Smack dab in the neighborhoods of poor folks that can't do anything about their water, their air, and their land getting completely trashed and decimated. But yeah, you know, that. By the way, the Supreme Court just knocked down, I can't remember the name of the case off the top of my head, but they just struck down one of the fundamental legal principles that was being used to bring those sorts of cases, especially because of the racially disparate impact. You know, not just poor folks, let's put the corporations and the petrochemical companies that are trashing air and water in poor Black folks' neighborhoods, because then we're absolutely certain no one's going to do anything about it. But yes, that fun fact from Shreveport, Louisiana, this morning's headline from the New York Times says this. I almost couldn't believe it. Louisiana requires all public classrooms to display 10 Commandments. Say what? What?
That's an aneurysm happening right now.
Basically, I always have something to say. This one rendered me silent for a good 45 minutes. Governor Jeff Landry, and by the way, if you are conjuring up an image of what Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry might look like, he signed legislation on Wednesday requiring the display of the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom in Louisiana, making it the only state with such a mandate, and obviously reigniting the debate over the separation of church and state. It's not just grade schools. It's not just high schools. It's also public colleges and universities. This is bananas. And here's what, it's not just the act of doing this. And I'll tell you why. I mean, if it smacks of ridiculousness and you don't know anything about the Stone v. Graham court case, no worries. Your intuition is correct. It's not just the audacity, the like thumbing the nose at the entire concept of a separation of church and state that's shocking. What also was truly shocking is what the governor said about it when he signed it. I can't wait to be sued, Governor Landry said on Saturday at a Republican fundraiser in Nashville, according to the Tennessean. And on Wednesday, as he signed the measure, he made this argument. If you want to respect the rule of law, you've got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses. What?
It's just factually incorrect.
It's just garbage. And by the way, I know people who think that the entire tale of Moses and the Ten Commandments is fictional.
Really? It wasn't Charlton Heston? He looked a lot like Charlton Heston, especially.
Moses should look like Charlton Heston.
Honestly, most people from the Middle East looks exactly like Charlton Heston from what I've seen.
Yeah. You know, Jesus was a white guy with blonde hair and blue eyes. What are you talking about? Of course, Brian. For him to say that is so deeply offensive because the United States Supreme Court in 1980 basically struck down an identical law from Kentucky. That case was called Stone v. Graham. It was, I don't know, they were mandating the display of the Ten Commandments in public schools. It was literally the same thing. Supreme Court said, no, that is a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Again, that case, 1980 Stone v. Graham, couldn't be any clearer. So when Governor Jeff Landry decides he's going to start teaching them people about how to be good Christians, what, if you want to respect the rule of law, you've got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses. No, sir.
Is he going to put up the Code of Hammurabi in there? Because that'd be more actually spot on for that.
It's absolutely bananas. By the way, Louisiana, also the special place where the legislature has advanced first in the nation measures, also groundbreaking, just like this one, mandating religion in public schools. First in the nation measures like designating abortion pills as dangerous controlled substances. Oh, and this gem, allowing judges to order surgical castration of sex offenders. Welcome to the state of Louisiana.
Nothing says Christian more than castration.
It is so shocking to me. Now, you might be wondering to yourself, well, why would they try to do this if there's such a clear case, right? The Stone v. Graham case from 1980.
Well, I don't know how stupid they sound.
Perhaps Governor Jeff Landry, I can't wait to be sued. Here's why. Over the last 50 years in these sorts of cases, right, that are trying to more definitively establish the boundaries of the separation of church and state, in general, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on the pro-religious side of those cases around 30 to 40% of the time. Brian, you want to hazard a guess at what that percentage has looked like after Donald Trump got done illegally packing the court with conflicted jurists who don't understand or care one whit about the Constitution other than to exert their political will over tens of millions of Americans and strip us of our freedoms?
I'm going to say doubled. I'd say it's doubled.
It's 85%.
That's more than doubled.
Yeah. Used to be 30 to 40%. Now it is 85% of cases dealing with the Establishment Clause that have come before this iteration, this bogus kangaroo Supreme Court, this iteration of the court. Now it's 85% of those cases they're finding in favor of the pro-religiosity in government type of arguments. The most recent case was the 2022 ruling that found that Joseph Kennedy, an assistant football coach at a public high school near Seattle, was protected by the First Amendment when he offered prayers after games, often joined by students, on the public school's football field. That was an abomination, too. I mean, ridiculous. It creates pressure on students, on minors, to potentially participate in religious activity because they don't want to look like the odd kid out, when that might violate their family's privately and personally held, sincerely held religious beliefs. You know, if a kid might be Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist, whatever it may be, what the heck? This is so terrible. So the reason this is happening now, again, the Trump PAC kangaroo Supreme Court, the 85% pro-religious meddling in government folks getting the rulings that they're seeking before this court. You got the 2022 ruling, and to get there in that ruling, the Supreme Court had to do away with what was referred to as the Lemon Test. The Lemon Test was used in Establishment Clause cases to determine whether or not there was an inappropriate or unconstitutional mingling of government and religion. The clause, of course, the Establishment Clause, this is language we're all very familiar with. The clause is intended to, quote, prevent government from either advancing or hindering religion, preferring one religion over others, or favoring religion over non-religion. And the test required courts to consider whether the government practice that was being challenged had a secular purpose, meaning a non-religious purpose, whether its primary effect was to advance or inhibit religion, and whether it encouraged excessive government entanglement with religion. They got away with that, did away with it, and they got away with doing away with it. This is not good. I mean, obviously this is going to be legally challenged. The ACLU has already come out and said they're going to sue over it. And this will make its way up through the court system. It's so extreme that I would be I hope the Supreme Court would even find this too extreme.
I mean, it's blatant. It's blatantly, obviously, yes, freaking wrong. I'm calling founding fathers once again. We talked about this last time. A theistic government does not work. The whole point of us creating an entire constitution that balances power is the idea that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And absolute power gets doubled up when you have, I don't know, say the will of God on your side, and that's what you think is happening. The point is, our entire existence of our freaking country is against this exact principle.
Yeah, what Brian said. To me, when I look at this, if the Supreme Court, again, this kangaroo court, constructed by Donald Trump, bought and paid for by the billionaire class who doesn't pay tax on their wealth at the levels that we tax work. This court finds that this is constitutional. What's left? What can't the government do? Just declare Christianity the national religion and be done with it. By the way, I hate the fact that my currency says "In God We Trust" on it. Except if that ain't your thing, but you got to use the money anyways. What I want to know is this acceptable to you? If you're a conservative Christian, is this acceptable to you? What if it was, you know, the Quran and the seven pillars of the Quran? Would that be cool too if Maine decided that that's what they wanted to post in public schools? I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We want to hear from you on this. Should we allow these demonstrations of religion in public schools? 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back in just a moment.
They'd like to get Jesus.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking this half hour about this new law that was just signed in Louisiana that's going to mandate that the Ten Commandments be posted in every elementary, secondary, and college and university school if it receives any public funding in the state of Louisiana. Say what? Why is this okay? It's absolutely ridiculous. Brian calls founding fathers. I agree with him. And here, the audacity, the sort of arrogance, the bring it onishness of those that have advocated for this in Louisiana is stunning to me. The governor saying, I can't wait to get sued, saying that the rule of law has to start with the original lawgiver, Moses. Except if you think that that's fiction, or, you know, you think it should be the seven pillars of the Quran or Hammurabi's Code or any other variety of source of law. And then this from Matt Krause, a lawyer for the First Liberty Institute, which, again, isn't about liberties. It's not about your religious liberty unless you believe what he believes. Had this to say, the Ten Commandments is there time and time again as the basis and foundation for the system that America was built upon. No, it's not.
No, that is absolutely incorrect.
I don't know. Is it woke ideology, Brian, to actually try to teach correct U.S. history? Because Matt needs a lesson or two, wouldn't you say? And then this from State Representative Dodie Horton, the Republican sponsor of the legislation. Quote, given all the junk on junk our children are exposed to in classrooms today.
You don't even know what you're talking about, you stupid person. I'm sorry.
It is imperative that we put the Ten Commandments back in a prominent position. But no, it's not. She continues, quote, our children look up and see what God says is right and what he says is wrong. It doesn't preach a certain religion, but it definitely shows what a moral code we all should live by. Yeah,
yes, it does. It does specifically push a certain religion. That is exactly what it does. There's no other question about that. You shall not lie. You're literally lying right there. Also, you and I both went to Catholic school, right? Like we attended Catholic schools.
Sure did.
How much time did they spend with us going over and hammering home those Ten Commandments? No, they didn't. And we were paying to go and get the religious education.
Well, my folks were. And listen, just as a little cheeky aside, I'm not taking constitutional pointers from anybody named Dodie Horton. I'm just saying, Dodie, what was that short for? You're a dodo? I would say so, because that is one of the stupidest things I've heard in a long time. It just is. Oh, and these details. The posters must be no smaller than 11 by 14 inches, and the commandments must be the, quote, central focus of the poster, and in large, easily readable font. So glad that they got that part in there.
I just pictured like the tiny Stonehenge from Spinal Tap that comes in. It looks bigger, closer.
Oh, it's painful to have to tolerate this level of stupid. I have no problem with anyone who is a devout follower of any religion, but that we don't endorse a particular set of religious principles in public schools. At least we shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't make any sense. Again, what would Dodie Horton say if it was the seven pillars of Islam? You think they'd be cool with that? No, they'd be screaming from the mountaintops about Sharia law and all sorts of things.
If you really wanted to talk about original law, then why don't we go and talk to the Jews? They have a whole series of it. In fact, the whole first five books are about laws and things. But again, they think that it was the Christian stuff that started it all. I'm pretty sure they're not aware of what the difference between the New and Old Testament is, blah, 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 blah. Why do I have to teach people about their own freaking religion?
Ben from Richland Center making this exact point. Ben texting in. Obviously, it's a stupid law. Maybe they should actually be posted in the original Hebrews because they were given to the Jews, after all, not Christians. Hear, hear, Ben. Tom from West Dallas saying, pretty sure our laws were based more or less on the Magna Carta. Yep, that. Here's the problem with all of this. Baked into that cake is this presumption by Republicans today that only their constituency, and it's not even Republicans anymore, it's the MAGA cult, that they are the only true or real Americans, that their version, their vision for the country is the only legitimate one. That their religion is the only right one, that they have the capital T, one capital O, truth, capital T. That is the problem. That is indeed what the founding fathers were fighting against. This is not the way America has ever been designed to work. No one party gets to say, it's my way or you don't count. That is not the way things work. We live in a secular democracy, people. That means it is not supposed to be entangled in religion. And just a side note here, I have to point this out. There's a lot of evangelical Christians actually believe in this sort of weird mysticism of the Ten Commandments, that literally like posting them in a room will sort of magically encourage people to act or behave better. There's a whole strain of that. A little weird. I don't think kids will spend 1 second reading what's posted on the wall. You're just wasting taxpayer money so that you can pat yourself on the back for flipping the bird at liberals and Muslims and atheists and people who still want a secular democracy. That's what this is about. It's an enormous FU to liberals and Democrats. That's the virtue signaling here. The virtue signaling is in your face. Anybody that doesn't believe in my version of Christianity or my version of religion, that's what's going on here, which leads me to the bigger picture question that I want to ask you, Brian, and all of you out there. Why is this okay? Why is it that over the last, especially 8 years, it is liberals that are being demanded to compromise their principles and their values? Why the MAGA cult and Christian far-right evangelicals simply tell us to go screw ourselves and you have to move your beliefs, your values closer to the far, far right fringe or Christian far-right white nationalists and the MAGA cult? Why is there no compromise from the right? I don't get it. I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your farm update and news are next.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Trembles when I see lots of people on the caller list because I always want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What's going on in Louisiana is just one of many nearly infinite examples of the right basically taking their beliefs and saying to anybody that disagrees, go kick rocks. Forget you. You have no place in my United States, that my view is the only legitimate view. We are the real Americans. If you disagree, you ain't an American. If you disagree, you're not a good person. It doesn't allow for any kind of compromise. The entire political spectrum over the last 20 years, and certainly since the ascendancy of Donald Trump and the MAGA cult, has simply shifted way over to the right. Lefties are now centrists. Conservatives are now cult members. What has gone on? Why is it only the left that has to basically be the adults in the room? Treat everybody fairly, be really nice, compromise so that things can actually get done, responsibly talk about the debt ceiling, you know, all that stuff. I don't get it. What's going on? Let's go to the phones. You want to join us? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. 42, Andre from Minneapolis, welcome to the show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
I have to say, first of all, let's clear this one thing up. There's not seven pillars of Islam. There's only five. Believe in one God, you pray to one God, charity, of course, Ramadan, and then if you're able to make the trip, you visit the holy city of Mecca. Okay, having said that, thanks for taking my call, Maggie. Now, clearly these guys are running a white narrative Christian nationalist type of demonstration. That's what they're doing. You know, I mean, hands down, that's what they're trying to do. And the guy that they're trying to put back in office has broke every darn Ten Commandments and 10 more on top of that. You know, so there you have it. And if you watch this guy, Steve Bannon's podcast, or whatever, right over his right shoulder on the screen there, there's this depiction of this white guy with blonde hair and blue eyes, look like some Viking from Norway or something, saying that Jesus Christ, he didn't look anything like that. Moses didn't look like Charleston Heston. And you know, these guys got it really backwards. It's really seriously embarrassing that these guys are running on this. And there's, you ever see that movie Step With Wives where everybody's like half human and half, they're like QAnon type individuals? That's what we have here. They're trying to run this narrative, this white supremacy. Call it for what it is. That's what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Like you just said, that's what you said, if you don't roll with me on this here, darn it, then you're not no Christian. You're not with us. No, no, it don't work like that. Those so-called founding fathers, and no disrespect to them, out of all the bunch, I think I would have to go with Alexander Hamilton. He would be one of my favorite guys out of that whole bunch. But, you know, they should have got permission from the Indians with this white supremacy thing. That's what they're doing, that under the name of Jesus Christ, who was not blonde hair and blue-eyed or anything like that. So having said that, thanks for allowing me to burn your ear a little bit. They're clearly running a white supremacist narrative. And Donald Trump talking about he don't like black people. That's BS. And to add something else from every hate group in this country, that he's legalized hatred in this country. It was here before, but he legalized it. They're supporting this guy, the Proud Boys, the Ku Klux Klan, the Aryan Nation, the Order, the Free Percenters, the KKK. It goes on and on. They didn't go with President Obama. Thank you on that one. They're rolling with Trump because he said it's okay. He didn't denounce them. They beat up on President Obama because he went to Reverend Wright's church in Chicago, for heaven's sake. He wore a tan suit. That's all you got on this guy, poor man. I mean, he did two terms. You know, you may not roll with it, but the guy was a decent human being. He's a good Christian man. Like Mr. John McCain said, who was a Republican, and I have respect for the McCain family. I have respect for the Colin Powell family. What happened to those guys?
So preach, Andre, 100%. First of all, I want to give Andre a big thanks. Fact-checking and correcting me, there are five pillars of Islam. Thank you so much, Andre. 100%. This is political ideology that is being enforced and forced down the throats of everyone. That's what this is. It's political religious ideology being forced on the entirety of America that is actually about a white nationalist agenda who has their cult leader in the former MAGA president. That is what this is about. Anybody who comes to me and is telling me about, oh yeah, well, this is about compromise and liberals are just as rigid. That is garbage. I challenge any conservative, pick an issue, any issue that you wish. Tell me what your actual specific policy proposals are. And I guarantee you with nearly universal consistency, a liberal or a Democrat will try to meet you at least halfway on a bunch of those specific policy ideas, specific actionable policies. The problem is Republicans and the MAGA cult don't have specific policies other than fundamentally white nationalism and build the wall. That is not what domestic or foreign policy is. No, thank you. Bob, a Wisconsinite on the East Coast, welcome. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Yeah, on the Wisconsin East Coast. Hey, Maggie, I just remembered where I was, the teaching that went on in my grade school many years ago, and that is the golden rule. Treat others as you have them treat you.
Yes. Yes.
Treat others as you would have them treat you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Bob. I had written that down myself just as we finished up the prior segment, because I ask, you know, the governor of Louisiana, if you're following the golden rule, this doesn't track, because if someone is Muslim or Buddhist or an atheist, would you have them treat you the way that you are treating them? In other words, would you legally mandate that their religious or moral principles be on every public classroom wall?
Brian, I wonder if they
use,
I wonder if they have rainbows allowed in those schools. I wonder if I wonder if they're allowed to say this is a safe place to, you know, any of their kids, or do they have to just say, I can't help you, refer to that thing on the board.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a really dangerous time. And all of this, again, props to Andre for calling out all this stuff. We're going to listen to a couple of sounds. We got three of them. This is Donald Trump being asked questions about his Christian beliefs. Because the absurdity here is that there is a rapist, fraudster, lying, cheating, stealing creep running for president. And somehow this is fine with all the evangelicals that are going to flock to the polls in November and vote for him. But the guy doesn't have an actual moral bone in his body. He can't admit or even say or conceptualize that he's asked the Lord for forgiveness, which is the fundamental premise of Christianity. He doesn't know what his favorite Bible verse is, but after he gets prepped by people, he decides it's an eye for an eye. You don't have to take my word for it on any of this because we've got the actual sound. Brian, let's take a listen. When Frank Luntz asked Donald J. Trump if he's ever asked the Lord for forgiveness.
Now, I do have to... This is the second time he was asked this exact question. The first time he was asked, he went on for a minute and a half about how famous his pastor was.
Yeah.
Had nothing to
do with it. It's in the same interview. So Frank Luntz asked him, he talks about his famous pastor, and then Frank Luntz asked him again. This is the sound.
I'm not sure I have. I just go on and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't. Now, when I take, you know, when we go to church and when I drink other wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness. And I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed, okay? But, you know, to me, that's important. I do that. But in terms of officially, I could say absolutely, and everybody, I don't think in terms of that. I think in terms of let's go on and let's make it right.
So I know it's a little bit hard to hear, but what he says right out of the box is, I don't think so. That is the former MAGA president being asked about the one thing that actually differentiates Christianity in a material way from nearly all other religious faith belief systems. That is the forgiveness of sins because Jesus Christ gave his life for humanity.
Kind of the basic
that
thing.
That is the thing in Christianity. If you claim to be a Christian, you have to ask for forgiveness. Donald Trump is therefore not a Christian because in response to being asked, have you ever asked for forgiveness? He says, I don't think so. I don't think of it in those terms. I just try to make it right. No, when you have made a mistake, when you have sinned, you must ask for forgiveness. By Donald Trump's own admission, he's going to hell. Everybody, he is not saved because he will not repent.
But I love the bit about the I have my little wine and I get my cracker, and then I guess that's a form of forgiveness, right? Like, my point is, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. He doesn't even know what it is, and also he thinks that it's just a ritual that you do and not actually some thing you have to go through. It's the whole point of the freaking religion.
It's the body of Christ. I mean, please, let's not act like this is actually about Christianity. Let's not act like this is actually about trying to help young people lead more moral lives. This is about telling liberals and Democrats and anybody that doesn't agree with you to go pound sand. That's what this is about. And oh, by the way, let's hear what Donald Trump's favorite Bible verse is, Brian.
Is there a favorite Bible verse or Bible story that has informed your thinking or your character through life, sir?
Well, I think many. I mean, you know, when we get into the Bible, I think many, so many. And people talk an eye for an eye. You can almost say that. That's not a particularly nice thing. But, you know, if you look at what's happening to our country, I mean, when you see what's going on with our country, how people are taking advantage of us and how they scoff at us and laugh at us and they laugh at our face and they're taking our jobs, they're taking our money, they're taking the health of our country. And we have to be very far from.
Do you have the first time he was asked that question and had no answer by any chance?
I'm wondering what one or two of your most favored Bible verses are and why.
I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal. So I don't want to get into
verses. There's no verse that means a lot to you that you think about or cite.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Here's when you know someone's lying. When asked the same question, you give inconsistent answers. We have words for this in the legal field. You use it to impeach the witness's credibility. Impeach. You could impeach Donald Trump's credibility on this. But then when he figures out he probably should have a Bible verse, which one is it? It's the Bible verse that is the very symbol, is the perfect emblem for the very problem with conservatism that I'm pointing out right now. That it is, screw you if you don't believe in me. If there's going to be compromising to be done, it won't be by me. It will be by you. This America is only for the conservative, evangelical, Christian, white nationalist. That's what that means when he says an eye for an eye. It means, how dare you ask me to compromise? I'm going to get even.
You know what's great? One of my favorite Bible passages is when Jesus said, you were told eye for an eye, but I'm here to tell you to turn the other cheek. Remember that part?
Yeah, kind of important. Like treating your neighbor as you would treat yourself. For shame. Next up, Aileen Cannon. That terrible judge in the Southern District of Florida. Some breaking news coming out just today. I'll talk about it after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You only have two cheeks.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station. Someone play young Lauren like she done. But remember not to game the one of the sun. Everything you did has already been done.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Get your licks in. It's the last segment of the day. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Thanks to the texters we've been talking about. I don't even know what to call it. The hubris, the arrogance, the oppression, the white supremacy, the control, the cramming your beliefs down somebody else's throat and then calling them the problem that basically defines the MAGA cult brand these days. Love Tom's text from New Berlin saying of the 10 commandments, of course, under the breath, they're saying the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. Yes. How dare a Democrat or a liberal call this out because we don't want to offend their delicate sensibilities? Somebody's got to say the quiet part out loud, so I'm saying it. It's baloney. You cannot stand on any sort of principle when the only person that has to compromise is the person that disagrees with you. Compromise, by definition, requires movement from both parties, both sides. Brian from Iguanago pointing out it's all about control. Jeannie from Eau Claire, thanks for your brief call. I appreciate you checking in. I want to talk about...
I have breaking news for everybody. Anybody who's driving in I-43 is closed in both directions from Capitol to Keefe. It's the construction zone there. There was a chase and pursuit. A couple people were injured there. But if you're heading on 43... between Capitol and Keefe is closed both ways, so find a different way to go around.
Thanks so much, Brian. Appreciate that. There was a little bit of breaking news on a national scale earlier today. Judge Aileen Cannon, who is the judge in the Southern District of Florida Federal Court that is presiding over the Donald Trump spy documents case, you know, the taking one could even say stealing of national secrets and storing it in a gilded golden bathroom and on a stage at his Mar-a-Lago cult hideaway retreat, and then lying about the fact that he had them there after the government spent a year and a half asking nicely, then sending letters, then sending meaner letters, and then finally subpoenaing him, and then having him have his lawyer attest that he had turned over all the documents, but he had lied to his lawyer and had a couple of his bagmen move the documents around so they wouldn't actually be at Mar-a-Lago anymore. Yeah, that case, which I have always argued, is the clearest of all of the criminal matters that have and are facing Donald Trump. It's the one that's the easiest for an average person to get their head around, right? You took the stuff, you shouldn't have taken it, you lied about taking it, you kept it, and it was, you know, our super secret spy secrets.
Even Bill Barr, who has sold this country out several times and made excuses for people who have done so over and over, said, yeah, that he's got no case.
It's bad. So Aileen Cannon, yeah, she's the woman that's presiding over that case, which is effectively grounded to a complete halt. She refuses to schedule a trial date. She's gotten all kinds of rulings wrong. She's basically floridly displaying her utter and total incompetence and stupidity, her lack of even basic reading comprehension on a near daily basis in that case. And the news that broke today was this. That shortly after Judge Aileen Cannon drew the assignment in June 2023 to oversee the former MAGA president's super secret spy documents case, two more experienced judges on the court that Judge Aileen Cannon sits on. So two other judges from the Southern District of Florida called her personally and urged her to pass on the case and allow it to be assigned to another jurist. Now, the details here are kind of what make it more uncomfortable. The first person, again, this judge isn't named in the reporting. The second judge is, and who that is kind of important. I'll get to that in a moment. The first judge to call, Judge Cannon, suggested to her that it would be better for the case to be handled by a jurist based closer to the district's busiest courthouse in Miami, where the grand jury that indicted Donald Trump had sat. Also, at the time, it was only that Miami courthouse that actually had a SCIF, a secure compartmented information facility. Excuse me, a sensitive compartmented information facility, or SCIF there. There was no SCIF in the courthouse that Aileen Cannon sits in, which is some 2 hours away from Miami. Why is that important? Because it's about our super secret spy documents case, right? And they'll have to look at the super secret spy documents. And you can't do that in an open courtroom because, you know, Putin might be flying a balloon into the courtroom with a micro camera. Okay, you get the idea. So you have to look at the documents in the SCIF. So no SCIF in Judge Cannon's courtroom. Oh, she didn't care about that either when that fact was pointed out to her. She made the taxpayers of this great country pay to build a SCIF in her courtroom, again, 2 hours away from Miami. So that was the first judge that called her. The second judge that called her was the chief judge of the Southern District of Florida. And the chief judge was even more specific. She said that it would be bad optics for Judge Cannon to oversee the trial because of what had happened during the criminal investigation that had led to Trump's indictment in this very case. What are we talking about there? Aileen Cannon basically granted Donald Trump the right to bring a lawsuit claiming that the documents at issue were his personal property. It was this really wild procedural move. He filed a separate lawsuit outside of the criminal case to try to stop the criminal case from proceeding. That is, for any first-year law student, a no-brainer, go pound sand. But she granted it, and the three-judge appeals court slammed her down. That appeals court included two Donald Trump appointees. By the way, the chief judge in the Southern District of Florida, a George W. Bush appointee. So basically, all of the other conservative judges in the Florida district also think she's a total idiot, but no matter, she decided to keep the case, and now the public will be deprived of our right to hear the evidence against the former MAGA president in a court of law before the election. Bravo, Aileen. Bravo. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's going to do it for me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. You just lost one. You just lost one. What a bum bum.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.